Welcome to SCOTUSCast, Iraqi Sovereign Immunity Post-Decision Edition. Thanks for tuning in. On Monday, June 8th, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Iraq v. Beatty. In this case, the Supreme Court considered whether the now-repealed State Sponsor of Terrorism exception to the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act of 1976 gives American courts jurisdiction to hear cases against the Republic of Iraq involving alleged misdeeds of the Saddam Hussein regime. In a unanimous decision delivered by Justice Scalia, the court held that the Republic of Iraq is no longer subject to suit in federal court, reversing the D.C. Circuit decision below. To discuss the decision, we welcome University of Minnesota Law Professor David Strauss. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Strauss.
In Iraq versus Beatty, the Supreme Court consolidated two cases brought by United States citizens against the Republic of Iraq, seeking money damages for abuses suffered by them under Saddam Hussein's regime during and immediately following the 1991 Gulf War. Both consolidated cases were on certiorari to the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit and presented the following question for the court. Quote, does the Republic of Iraq possess sovereign immunity from the jurisdiction of the courts of the United States in cases involving alleged misdeeds of the Saddam Hussein regime and predicated on the exception to immunity for state sponsors of terrorism found in former 28 U.S.C. Section 1605A7? In a unanimous opinion written by Justice Scalia, the court held that President George W. Bush validly restored the Republic of Iraq's sovereign immunity by exercising his statutory authority under the 2003 Emergency Wartime Supplemental Appropriations Act. Now, on to the background of the case. Generally, the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, otherwise called the FSIA, strips federal courts of jurisdiction over any claims brought against foreign nations. The act, passed by Congress in 1976, has several exceptions. One such exception was at issue in the Beatty case. The exception, codified in 28 U.S.C. Section 1605A7 and passed by Congress in 1996, strips foreign nations of sovereign immunity in courts of the United States if the foreign state is, quote, designated as a state sponsor of terrorism, end quote, and the claim involves, quote, personal injury or death that was caused by an act of torture, extrajudicial killing, aircraft sabotage, hostage taking, or the provision of material support or resources for such an act, end quote. The statutory schemes in this case are fairly complex, though the legal question of statutory interpretation is straightforward, as the court ultimately held. In April 2003, Congress enacted the Emergency Wartime Supplemental Appropriations Act, otherwise called ESAW. Section 1503 of that act gave the president the power to, quote, suspend the application of any provision of the Iraq Sanctions Act of 1990, end quote. Section 1503 goes on to list several provisos or conditions on that power, including a provision granting the president the power to, quote, make inapplicable with respect to Iraq Section 620A of the Foreign Assistance Act of 1961 or any other provision of law that applies to countries that have supported terrorism, end quote. The main statutory question in Beatty was whether the broad phrasing, any other provision of law that applies to countries that have supported terrorism, permitted President George W. Bush to waive the exception to sovereign immunity in the FSIA for state sponsors of terrorism. Now, the arguments of the parties. The Republic of Iraq argued that the language any other provision of law meant that the president did have the power to waive literally any other provision of law that applied to countries that have supported terrorism, including the exception at issue in this case that stripped Iraq of its sovereign immunity from the 1996 Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act. Therefore, according to Iraq, President Bush's declaration pursuant to ESAW was effective in restoring Iraq's sovereign immunity from suit in May of 2003. In a unanimous opinion, the Supreme Court agreed with that line of reasoning, rejecting the respondent's argument that the president was limited to waiving only statutes that impose sanctions on sponsors of terror. The respondents had interpreted Section 1503 as applying only to the Iraq Sanctions Act, arguing that the statutory language, any other provision of law, actually meant any other sanction-imposing provision, not all statutory provisions applying to state sponsors of terrorism. The court rejected that limited reading of the statute based on the ordinary plain meaning of the statute itself, pointing out that provisos can be used to introduce independent legislation rather than to provide a limitation on the principal clause. In other words, according to the court, the principal clause provided the president with a power, and the second proviso at issue in this case granted the president an additional power. Furthermore, even if the president's waiver power was limited to sanction-imposing legislation, as the respondents had argued, the court reasoned that the 1996 immunity stripping statute was effectively a sanction, designed in part as punishment and deterrence against nations that sponsor terror. According to the court, and this is a quote from Justice Scalia's opinion, stripping the immunity that foreign sovereigns ordinarily enjoy is as much a sanction as eliminating bilateral assistance or prohibiting export of munitions, both of which are explicitly mandated by Section 586 FC of the Iraq Sanctions Act. Therefore, under either interpretation of the statute in this case, the Republic of Iraq has immunity from civil suits by virtue of the President's 2003 declaration pursuant to ESOL. The court also rejected several alternative arguments advanced by the respondents. According to the respondents, even if Section 1503's second proviso was not limited to the Iraq Sanctions Act, the respondents argued that it should be limited to the laws cited in Section 620A of the Foreign Assistance Act, which does not include the terrorism exception of the FSIA, which is the statute at issue in this case. The court found that interpretation, quote, absurd, not only textually, but in the result it produces, end quote, because it would give the president the power to exclude rather than include the Republic of Iraq from certain beneficent legislation. The respondents further argued that the National Defense Authorization Act, passed by Congress and signed into law in 2008, congressionally ratified an earlier D.C. Circuit decision that interpreted Section 1503 in the same limited way as the respondents. The court, however, found no express retroactive effect flowing from the National Defense Authorization Act that would draw any doubt upon the validity of the president's prior declaration under ESOL. And even if it did have retroactive effect, the court stated, the president again waived the application of the new terrorism exception to sovereign immunity pursuant to his powers designated to him under the National Defense Authorization Act. As the court stated, and again quoting from Justice Scalia's opinion, if the president's waiver does anything, it eliminates any substantive effect that the NDAA would otherwise have on cases to which Iraq is a party. Finally, respondents point to a sunset provision, or Proviso 8 in the ESOL, as evidence that the president's 2003 declaration restoring Iraq's sovereign immunity in fact expired in 2005. The respondents fared no better with this argument, as the court pointed out that the president's authority to suspend or, quote, make inapplicable, end quote, the terrorism exception to the FSIA may have expired in 2005, but nothing in the sunset provision eliminated the effect of the president's statutorily authorized suspension prior to 2005. Now a few thoughts and analysis on the case. Iraq versus Beatty was a complicated case only because it involved the interrelationship of three different statutory schemes: the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, the Emergency Wartime Supplemental Appropriations Act, and the National Defense Authorization Act. Yet the takeaway from this case is that the court will interpret these statutes in accordance with their ordinary plain meaning, even though this case involved the removal of subject matter jurisdiction from the federal courts. As evidenced by the unanimity of the court in this case, the court got this one right. The provision of the ESOL that permits the president to make inapplicable any other provision of law that applies to countries that have supported terrorism surely includes an ability to waive application of the statutory exception from sovereign immunity in the FSIA that applies to state sponsors of terrorism. After all, Congress used the broadest phrasing possible in using any other provision of law, which can hardly be interpreted as providing a limiting interpretation on the types of legislation subject to the president's suspension power.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.